It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
John, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Every day there's some news out of the NFL. What's it going to be today? Because yesterday into today, it's Bruce Arians retires. Head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Then, by the way, follows that up with a nice playoff run. Then Tom Brady's coming back. Now Bruce Arians retires, and Todd Bowles will be head coach. What is Todd Bowles going to need to do to be successful the second time around? Someone who covered Todd Bowles with the Jets is going to tell us in 10 minutes. It's going to be right here. Meantime, Julius Randle, coming off a career year last year, led the Knicks to the playoffs for the first time in a billion years. I looked that up. Been a billion years since the Knicks were in the playoffs. They yeah. got there with Julius Randle, who was basically doing what he's done his whole career, but the three ball was falling. Hit a lot of threes, a lot more than he normally does. So the scoring average went up, and we already know he averages lots of boards and all that. So at any rate, this year that regressed to the mean, and so now there are problems because he got paid and he's not like, you know, the number one guy or not playing like a number one. That started really in the playoffs last year. Julius Randle at the Knicks post-game presser, a game they lost. How's your relationship with New York City changed?
Probably something you should ask yourself, man. I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm cool, bro. Like I said, my goal and, you know, what I work hard for is to make the city proud, to make the fans proud. You know, I play for my teammates, play for my family. And it's as simple as that, bro. Like, it's nothing more than that, so... From the inside looking out, it is what it is. I understand that a lot of times you got to just kind of let your game do the talking and go from there. But like I said, man, I love the city. I love my family loves it here. You know, I'm a Knick. That's what I love. I love being a Knick. So,
Julius, do you see things changing in the off season?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Everything's a lesson. You know, you learn from experiences like these and keep moving forward.
I'm not sure if that was the question. He didn't seem to answer that question exactly, but Evan?
Yes, that was the question.
That was the question. He seemed to give a curious answer. Didn't seem to be a direct response to the phrasing of that question, but that apparently was, in fact, the question. What should the Knicks do about Julius Randle, Jay?
They should trade him. I hear everything that Julius Randle is saying. I've known Julius Randle since he went to Kentucky. I watched his game continue to progress, and I think he has tremendous talent. I thought he caught lightning in the bottle last year at the right time. I mean, the Knicks caught lightning in the bottle. And I'm glad that that equated to a payday for Julius Randle. 4 years, $117, $118 million. But Julius Randle cannot be your 1A. And watching the progression of R.J. Barrett taking over that role and becoming that superstar for the Knicks to a degree, the way Julius has handled the media, the way he's handled the leadership role for this team, the way he's not been an extension of Thibodeau on the floor, and the game the other night against the Bulls when they got the win really epitomized what this season has been like for Julius Randle from a leadership perspective. The team won the game. They were celebrating together. He didn't celebrate with the team. He beelined towards the locker room. And that, to me, is a sign of somebody who doesn't want to be here. So I appreciate him that he said the right thing. He was politically correct. But just because you say it doesn't make us believe it.
Well, I think he's a good basketball player. I never, ever thought when he was a Laker, for instance, that he was 1A. I think when you look at Julius Randle, though, a lot of people just felt like because he had a resurgent type year, got the big extension, that he was the 1A for the Knicks. And, no, I think if you're on a championship team, he's probably the third guy at best to me.
Right.
I've never bought into his style of play. Inconsistent, but very good. Very good
no
basketball
right hand.
Player.
But Key, no, you know, right but hand. No, he reminds me of Key. He reminds me a little bit like of And I'm not saying that he's done enough to warrant this type of mentality, but the way I've known Julius to view Julius is more like a Russell Westbrook, where I don't know if he'll ever be willing to accept being the second or third guy. And I think that ultimately could lead to his demise. Like, that could be a problem for him because, you know, accepting a role key, you know what that is for certain guys that think they're the guy, especially when they get paid to be the guy.
Well, you don't see me shaking my head, but that's a different thing.
So,
well, you say, well, you know what that is. I'm sitting here going,
not like that.
Actually,
not
I don't. No. But yeah, I understand.
I don't know. That Wayne Krabet's pretty good. That Wayne Krabet is pretty. Listen, the Knicks lost to the Hornets, guys. They can be eliminated from the playoffs as early as tonight if the Hawks beat the Cavs.
Oh, that means I'm going to get my suit from Stephen A. Smith tonight.
Apparently.
Yes.
And the Hawks could technically eliminate the Knicks from the playoffs 2 years in a row because they eliminated them in the playoffs last year. And you know why? We're talking about Julius Randle. Trae Young can run a team. Trae Young can be the best player on your team. You'd be a powerhouse, right? No one does it by themselves.
But see, here's what I would say about that. I don't know if Trae Young, he could be the best player on your team, but I don't know that Trae Young can lead you to a championship being the best player on your team.
Well, okay, that remains to be seen, Jay? But he has won a playoff series.
Right? I just don't.
But he's already won a playoff series. He's done that.
Yeah, he has, but we talking about championships.
But it was against the Knicks. Exactly. It doesn't count.
I was going to say, winning a championship and winning a playoff series is different.
Well, and he played well against Philly at times.
He did. But my point is, whatever level you want to put Trae Young on, it's above Julius Randle. Julius Randle, in my view, Key, I'm with you. If he's the second best player on your team, you're also going to have a problem. At best, to me, he's a third option on offense. And he can do, he's a, you know, double-double. He'll grab you boards. He'll do some things.
Could he be the second best player on a five-year-ago LeBron James-led team? Jay, could he be that?
Second best player on a LeBron James-led team? I don't think he could. No. I think LeBron needs more than Julius
Randle. He needs more than Julius Randle. Okay.
Yeah. Alan Hahn from Barton Hahn came on our show last hour, and he kind of gave the pie-in-the-sky scenario, like he epitomized what a New York Knicks fan would really want about Zion Williamson. I almost see like a situation like the New Orleans Pelicans with C.J. McCollum and Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle. Like, that's a better fit for him than me trying to put him on a team like the Lakers where it's championship or bust.
Yeah, see, if you had McCollum and you had that down there with the Pelicans, then that's a different team.
Pieces that are compatible with the way Julius Randle plays.
But there's a problem with that to me. And this is the Daryl Morey thing when he had Ben Simmons and wanted to trade him and they offered McCollum. And he said, whatever you think of the eventual trade, he said, we think Ben Simmons is a difference maker. I'm only going to trade him for a difference maker. I don't think that's Julius Randle.
But let me tell you, I think
it is Zion if he's healthy. I don't think it's Julius.
So much is personnel. If the Knicks had CP3 and Buddy Hield with Julius Randle,
yes,
I would
love
it.
That's a different team.
Completely
CP3.
Close in the East.
Yeah.
You need some 3-and-D wing defenders, but you got a guy that can space out the floor, knock down shots. You got the point guard who can run the show. He would put Julius Randle in positions to succeed. Mm-hmm. There's nobody really running this team like that. Derrick Rose was the closest person they had. But he's been injured.
Best fit for Julius Randle, you mentioned it earlier in the show, Denver?
I would say Denver because I like the thought of having, now you have to figure out what they do with Aaron Gordon, but I don't know if Aaron Gordon is a great piece for them. I like Jokic, Julius Randle combined with Michael Porter Jr. combined with Jamal Murray. You wouldn't be able to guard that team.
No. Everyone on the team is a shooter.
You
so
do
speak.
Give up a lot defensively, though, from Aaron Gordon, but still, I think.
Yeah. What would you want from Denver?
I would want Will Barton. I would want Monte Morris, which would take away from their depth, and I would want a first-round pick.
See, I think that's a lot for Julius Randle, given his contract. I think the Knicks would jump at that.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Even if you gave me a first-round pick and you gave me Monte Morris, I would consider it.
Yeah.
Because I need a point guard. And Monte Morris could be a guy that could be an extension of Thibodeau on the floor. And it gives me another draft pick to leverage in the market.
Y'all
and
this Thibodeau, extension of him, boy, y'all.
I'm with Key though. I don't think Thibodeau creates an atmosphere
think he's the answer.
Alan was going to jump through the mic.
The only problem is Key when you see every 2 years they're going through a new coach.
I get it.
I don't think he's the answer either. But I don't think right now is the best time to have a suitable replacement for him.
Hey, Don LaGreca, co-host of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, is Tom Thibodeau the right coach for this team, Don?
I don't think so. I know he did some nice things in Chicago and Minnesota and built them up into playoff caliber teams, but he's already done that with the Knicks, what he was able to do last year. Now you're trying to nurture a young team, and I'm just not sure whether he's perfect for it. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach. I think he's a very, very good coach. But what looks like you're going to have to rebuild, because let's stop the fantasy that they're going to bring in big free agents. They never do that. They're really stuck with only, you know, drafting, building, and cultivating young talent. Is he the right coach for that? Or is he the coach that comes in, teams underachieving, he gets them to overachieve and get them into the playoffs? That's the kind of coach he is. Not somebody who's going to take a bunch of draft picks, mold them over the next 2-3 years into a championship team.
Don, I listen to you, Peter Rosenberg, and Michael Kay almost every other day in the car with my kids. And I'm curious, pie in the sky scenario from a Knicks fan perspective as it relates to a head coach, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Somebody like a younger player, a younger coach, like a Spoelstra type guy, I think would be perfect. Now, obviously, you're not going to get that. He's one of the top 50 coaches of all time, right? So you don't want a college guy. You want to try to bring somebody in that has experience, but I think is young, relatable to the young kids, is right for New York, understands New York, and he's not young, but we keep talking about Jeff Van Gundy. You know, that's the name that always kind of comes up to us, a guy that understands New York. He's been through all of the wars. He knows the game well. I think he would help with young players. And
Don, how about Mark Jackson?
That's another one that
Jackson?
I think.
I don't know why people don't look at Mark Jackson as a shot. Like, he has history here. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why do you have to have history in New York? What I don't understand.
You don't.
You just be a good coach. A good coach is what you should be looking for.
No, I don't think it's a prerequisite, Key, but I do think it helps. You know, when you're dealing with the media and the expectations. Right, Max? I mean, you can't say that it doesn't help. It's not going to help. Of course it's going to help Buck Showalter with the Mets, that he had his time with the Yankees and kind of gets it. Guys, you know how overwhelming like New York can be early on, especially with the expectations.
You know what, Don?
I totally get it as a player who played there and dealt with it every single day. But I just, when I always hear people about New York sports, we need a New York type guy. But I said that has nothing to do with it. If you're winning, because coaches go to places they've never been before and they coach and they do fine.
But I understand Don's point. I would add this wrinkle to it, guys. It depends. Like, here's the problem with the Knicks. It's been so long, Don. Forget about the Patrick Ewing era. They didn't win a championship then. It's
right.
been so long since the Walt Frazier, Willis Reed days, right?
Wasn't
that,
born.
That those guys aren't around anymore who are going to coach. I like connections. When you say Showalter to the Mets, he was with the Yankees. He built them up. They at least made the playoffs at a time where it was hard to make the playoffs, right? That's a little bit different. If you look at the Lakers' history, when you bring people back from the Lakers' past, it's because they're from a championship era inevitably with the Lakers. With the Knicks right now, when we go, Mark Jackson is the glory days in my lifetime. But, Don, in a way, it's a bad reminder that the glory days didn't include ultimately any championships.
Yeah, I was talking off the air with Andrew Gunling, my producer, yesterday. I said, isn't it just strange that the glory years for the Knicks are, you know, Charles Smith not being able to dunk the ball? You know, it's a John Starks dunk in a series they lost. It's so crazy. You know, you look at every other team, like the Mets, it's 86, right? You know, for the Yankees, it's those four championships of 5 years. For the Giants, it's 86 and 90 when you go back into the history. What history does this team have other than, you know, a couple of runs to the conference final and one run to the NBA finals? So, yeah, are you going to have John Starks? You can bring back Oakley? You can bring back, you know, you can't. That doesn't work. So, like, Van Gundy kind of does both of that, though, because he was part of that era. But I'm with you, Max. Era is supposed to be championships, not failures. I mean, you think about that final. It was great. You think of Starks, was it 2-for-18? You think of, oh, the rivalry with the Bulls. Well, what rivalry with the Bulls? You didn't beat the Bulls until Jordan was gone. But you know how old you have to be to go back to 1973?
I'm 49 in August, and I was not alive the last time they won a championship.
Yeah, Don, I don't see Oakley walking through those doors either. I think that would be it.
No, but my point is, like, who? Ewing begged for the job.
Yeah.
He begged for the job, and they wouldn't give him the time of day. So I don't know how you guys feel about Van Gundy. We love him. We have him on the show. He just seems like a guy that I think would be – great. Some Knicks fans are upset because he quote-unquote quit on the team, but I think he's built up enough equity since then to where I think that would be great. And Mark Jackson, I'm with you guys too. You're telling me Golden State wouldn't have had that run with Mark Jackson?
Exactly. And Don, speaking of that run, a guy that actually has really kind of taken on the mantle of being the guy is RJ Barrett. But some of the conversations I've been having with a lot of my boys around the block, you know, over the last several months is, do the Knicks give him the rookie max extension? And I, like, for some reason in my mind, Don, when I think rookie max extension, I'm like, that's Luka Doncic. That's guys, Trae Young. Those are guys that are staple guys, guys that can take over games. And, you know, you want them there for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. And I look at what the Knicks just gave Julius Randle, and I'm looking how that's panning out, and it makes me slightly hesitant to give it. And he's a Duke guy. This is my young fella. It makes me hesitant to give him the rookie max. How do you feel?
I'm with you. I mean, listen, I love him. But what were we talking about Randle last year? Like, oh, that this is the building block, right? And then you fast forward not even a year later, and he's out the door. I was saying on the air yesterday, I hope Barrett's taking a look at what's happening with Randle and realizing, like, what could be if you're not careful. And he's a great kid. I don't have to worry about giving a finger to the fans and all that. But, you know, how it can all just turn. I need to see more. I'm always hesitant, Jay, when you talk about players that emerge on teams that aren't that great. You know, so you don't know about the big moment because there's been moments, but how much of this is, boy, he's a really good player just on a team that's not going to the playoffs. So if he was having this kind of year last year when a team was, you know, driving to the four seed, I'd have a little bit more to look at. But, you know, what has this team been this year?
Don,
he's really the only positive.
That's the whole shooting match to me is R.J. Barrett. Given his age, because he's still so young, 21, given his improvement and his potential – his development to me, Don, is the whole thing. You want an atmosphere that superstars want to play in. Not only do you need the right coach and the right culture, you need at least a player there, even if it's just for his value in a trade, who's an all-star caliber player perennially, right? And RJ at least has the chance to do it, but that's at least a year away based on his present development, right? I mean, he's not right there.
You just got to wait and see. We've been fooled too many times, right, Max? Just not just here with all different teams in New York where you get, you know, you look at what happened with Jeremy Lin, right? I mean, the guy was just unbelievable, and what did that pan out?
I don't mean to laugh, Tom, but I was thinking about that. I'm like, New York just loved that hype, boy. They had the Jeremy Lin train going, and then all of a sudden now we're talking Zion. They're getting ready to just lose their minds if they don't get Zion. And then you brought up Jeremy Lin, which made me chuckle. Don LaGreca, co-host of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Let's switch gears to football, Don. Todd Bowles gets another opportunity and a shot in Tampa Bay now, taking over for Bruce Arians. You think this time around, because it did not work out in New York, the way things were constructed in New York for the Jets, that now things are in place. Tom Brady's the quarterback. He has a top five defense, that he is now going to be seen as the coach the Jets wish they had.
Yeah, I really hope so. I'm such a Todd Bowles fan. I think he's a terrific coach. I was happy he was able to get that ring a couple of years ago as the defensive coordinator in Tampa. He's so ready for this gig. You know, people forget that first year with the Jets. What was that, 2015? They went 10-6, and they kind of folded up against Buffalo in the final week of the season and missed the playoffs, and then it kind of all fell apart from there. You had the Idzik and McCagnon kind of drama, and they didn't know whether they wanted to rebuild, whether they wanted to go for it. And, you know, Fitzpatrick was a nice quarterback, but he wasn't anything to kind of really build on. And now he's going to sit there in Tampa with Tom Brady as his quarterback. I mean, just so well-deserved for the guy. I'm so happy. And now you'll be able to see the kind of coach he can be. No offense to the Jets, but at that particular time, they were not ready to win. And now he's with a team that is, and I think they're going to – I'm a big Arians fan, and I hope everything's okay with him in this surprise retirement. But I think Bowles is ready, and I think it's a perfect situation for him. I'm so happy for him.
Don, let's make a quick transition to the Yankees. Let's talk about what this upcoming season means for Aaron Judge. What are your thoughts on him? Obviously, having some injuries last year, battling. Huge year coming up for him contract-wise. Where do you see the Yanks?
Well, I mean, last year was actually the year where he was able to stay on the field for long stretches, right? He had a little bit of an issue earlier in the year, but ended up playing a lot of games. What you got to avoid is that, you know, 100-game season, which he's had a couple of times early in his career. When he's healthy, Jay, he's one of the best players in baseball. If you tell me he's going to play 150 games this year, I think he's going to be right there to win the MVP. I don't worry about him as a player. I worry about him long-term health-wise. Now, he hasn't had, you know, the wear and tear of the body injuries. He's kind of had like fluke type of injuries, getting hit by a pitch, running into the wall, diving after a ball in the outfield. But the thing that concerns me is giving him a long-term contract. You really think that body's going to age well in baseball without the ability to DH because you've got Stanton there? Yeah. So I don't worry about a healthy Judge. I think he's terrific, and he'll handle the pressure, and he'll handle New York when he gets the contract. Just the question is he a guy that's going to be able to go out there, play 140, 150 games for the length of the contract? And if he puts together a big-time season this year, it's really going to help the confidence because it'll be back-to-back years.
I hear you about Judge. I have the same concerns. He's also pushing 30. He's 29 years old. But he's a guy. He's actually a five-tool player. He can take the ball the other way. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. He can run. He can throw. He can catch. Like, he is a five-tool player. And, Don, there hasn't been a guy exactly like him. Apologies to Reggie Jackson and Daryl Strawberry since, like, Mickey Mantle. He's in the Babe Ruth Mickey Mantle. Oh, my God, he just hit the ball 1,100 feet.
Right.
He hit 52 home runs as a rookie. You know, it's like, I don't see how they could let him walk away. Can they actually let him walk out the door?
No, I don't think it'll happen. But it is. But would you be surprised, Max, if they give him the contract, 6 years, option for a seventh, and by, like, year five, you're like, oh, God.
Nope. But I think in this case,
we'll take him back home.
Tied.
We'll take him back home, Max.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. I'm with you, Don. When he's on the field, you take Mike Trout out of the equation. When he's on the field, he's as good as anyone in baseball.
But who do you compare him to? Because, like, you mentioned Winfield, you mentioned Strawberry. They were kind of lankier.
Or Reggie.
This guy's built
he's
taller than Reggie.
He's a defensive end.
He's Paul Bunyan. You know, he's Babe Ruth or Mickey Mantle in the sense that, he is the symbol of the home run when he's on the field, right? And he can play.
Yeah, but a lot of those, I mean, Bonds had power.
He's Mark McGwire. Yeah.
He may be a better, I think he's a better athlete than Mark. Mark pitched in college.
And he played third, too, yeah.
I think he's a better athlete than him, but he's so big, man. He's so huge and powerful that you just marvel at him when you get an opportunity to see him play up close in person. It's crazy. And I know you know, Don, it's crazy.
He is a bulked up Daryl Strawberry. Yeah. Like, Strawberry had all the tools, too. Could run, had a gorgeous arm. Remember that All-Star game at Wrigley Field? Like, he just has that. He was one of the players I just loved to watch just in the field, never mind hit. But there's something special about him. But the negative, the byproduct of that is that a body that can play no PDs, 36, 37 years old. That's the issue.
Don, we're about to find out, I think. We're about to find out. Don LaGreca, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN. Great talking to you, Don.
Thanks, Don. Man. This was fun.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Guys, Aaron Judge as a rookie. This always amazes me, Key J, when a rookie can like show up like the greatest of all time among those types as a like what Mahomes did his first full year. It's just impossible, right? As a rookie, Aaron Judge came in. He hit 52 home runs, scored 128 runs. Both those led the league. 114 ribbies, 422 on base, 627 slugging. Came in second in the league in MVP behind Altuve. Like, and then he hasn't really been able to stay fully healthy since. Played 155 games that year, and then 112 and 102 games, still hit 27 home runs in both those seasons. But then last year played 148 games, hit 39 home runs, balled out. The dude is so good, and it's not just the power. He can run, he can throw, he can catch, and he can really hit, not just hit for power. He takes the ball the other way, up the middle, he can hit it. But he is almost 30 years, 29 years old, and he is injury prone. What is that contract going to look like, man? Key, what would you give him?
But is he really injury prone, Max? I mean, when you look at his rookie season, and then in between he had 2 years where he missed a little bit of play time. But for the most part, he's been there. He's given you an average of about 120, I would say about 130 games a season. I mean, that's a lot of baseball. I'd pay him what he's worth. You pay him what he's worth. You can't sit around and worry about if he's going to be injured 4 years from now. Because guess what? If you don't pay him and you let him walk out of the door and he stays healthy and somebody else pays him, you'll be kicking yourself for the next 10 years figure out why did we do that?
Yeah, he's a guy you cannot let walk out the door.
And he's a staple of the organization right now for the New York Yankees. He really is. Like, when you think of the New York Yankees, who do you think of?
Yeah, Judge.
Judge.
Yep.
I don't. There's no more Derek Jeter. I'm not thinking Derek Jeter. Jeter's been gone. It's about Judge.
It is, and he's a guy you cannot let walk out the door. I will say this, though. Like, when the Mets let Darryl Strawberry out the door, he went to the Dodgers, but in retrospect, it was the right move.
But
his prime was over.
Yeah, but I was about to say, Straw was sort of the old Strawberries, right? They were not the fresh, crispy ones that got the crunch to it. Though they had little brown spots in them.
When he left in, like, 89, no, later than that. It was, like, 91 or something.
Yeah, they got all the strawberry juice they could get out of him.
Yeah, there was a little shine off by then, just a little bit, yeah.
So there's no way Brian Cashman lets this dude walk out the door.
You
can't. And I got to tell you, from a sheer fan perspective and as being a professional athlete back when I was 21 years old full-time, but being around athletes, I have to tell you guys, I found myself geeking out. I was down in Miami for vacation. This is about maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And we had two cabanas next to each other. And Aaron Judge had the cabana next to me. And I found myself, Key, this dude was massive. I was looking at him.
I
found myself staring at him like, damn, you look like Zion Williamson. But you play baseball?
It's crazy. You know,
no, he don't look. Hey, Jay, you must have saw him before he started back working out, because he don't look like Zion.
I'm not saying out of shape. Zion Williamson, but I'm saying like the chisel, like it, just the thighs alone and arms.
I brought up Darryl Strawberry, Dave Winfield. These dudes were 6'6", okay?
Yeah, Dave
and
Winfield,
they were like,
Strawberry.
They were 220-ish. They were in that range. Mark McGwire was massive. He was 6'5", like 240. Brolic,
yeah, but
right?
Mark was 240 when he was doing the other stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise,
but
he was like 225.
Yeah, otherwise, he was a 215 guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice and slim with thick thighs.
So Aaron Judge is checking in at 6'7", 282.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, see, you don't even get that, though.
That's Zion's playing weight.
When you start tipping in baseball over 240, that's a different human being.
That's why he wasn't even a hotter prospect as he might have been, because people are like, no player this big has ever been really good.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Unless you were pitching. Randy Johnson was a slim Jim,
right.
But he was a footer.
Yeah.
He was a footer, so when the ball came off his fingers, it was already at the plate.
I'm trying to think of the biggest, strongest dudes back in the day. You know, there's never been.
I mean, Bill Madlock was big, but he was more.
Doubles hitter anyway.
He was just a big dude.
So he's probably pay wise. You know, you think about where Mike Trout is, Mookie Betts.
Damn, you said 6'7", 280?
282.
Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton.
I had to think about that.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton's at $325 million. So he's probably right around there. Correct?
He's so big that Giancarlo Stanton looks little standing next to him.
No, we're talking about his size, Jay, not his money.
I know. I'm talking about his money right
now.
No.
Stanton signed that contract when he was younger. With the Marlins. And he was by the way, Stanton is another dude. When he's healthy, it's just ridiculous. But you don't want to base it on Stanton's contract because you'd be overpaying, because Judge is almost 30.
But like, where? So what price?
Yeah, but he's a young 30 year old man.
Where's he at? Where are you going to give him? He's right around that price mark.
If I'm the Yankees, I would rather overpay per annum on a shorter deal if I could. So if that meant chopping it down to 5 years and giving him, $225 million, something like that, over five, right? Give him 45 a year or whatever that is. That might be 90.
Rather than get caught in an Albert Pujols situation.
Yeah, man. But
Albert Pujols was at the end when the Angels decided to do that.
No, it's different with Judge. You're right.
Judge is not at the end.
He's going to be higher.
Judge, if anything, Like he Judge has young more, man skills.
Judge is more in line with what's the I can't think of his name. He went to Seattle from the Yankees.
Robinson Cano.
It's more the Cano kind
that was
of
a bad to deal too. They should like Cano got 10 years from Seattle and way too much money, and he didn't. And like you wouldn't have wanted.
But he
to
wasn't
sign
as good.
Years.
But he wasn't as good as Judge
That's
either.
True too.
But I'm saying I'm talking about the length of the deal where you give Robinson Cano all that money when. On the back end of that deal, it becomes a bad deal. The first 4 years of that deal was like, okay, great deal. The last 6 year is like, what are you doing? It's like the Dodgers when we gave Kevin Brown $100 million.
Yeah.
It was like, well, what are we doing? We can get 2 years out of him, and that's it. The rest of those years are bad years.
Well, right, and that's why I would say when you pay extra to do a shorter deal per year, you're just buying an insurance policy, really. Because like guys like Kirk Cousins who go year to year for part of it, they wind up making more than anyone else if they stay healthy and good, right?
Yeah, I ain't betting on myself, though.
Yeah, I mean,
not when there's $300 million out there. I ain't
I
doing that.
I wonder if he'd take 2.25 for
no,
five.
No.
If I can get three
somewhere else, Key.
Yeah.
Why? If Bryce Harper can get what he gets with the great hair from Philly, and then
that's the one. It's the Harper deal. That's
yeah. You get Bryce Harper. Yeah. He gets the great money
Bryce
coming over from Washington.
Years, 330.
Yeah. Oof. So he gets that from Washington. What's our guy out west at the Angels?
You know, Bobby Bonilla still gets
Mike
paid
Trout.
By the Mets every
Mike
year.
Mike Trout.
Do you guys know there's a Bobby,
yeah, Bobby Bonilla day?
In the,
yeah.
It's $1 million every year.
They had to do that deal though, Max. If you remember,
I do.
They had to do the deal because they were in a bad financial situation.
Key Mike Trout, 12 years, 426.5.
Yeah, I mean, but Mike Trout, they're paying that money too. But Mike Trout's been banged up too now.
Yeah, and Mike Trout also has the kind of skills to age very well. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Choose Your Own Adventures up next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Guys, veteran wide receiver Cole Beasley. Just, you could say, one of the top free agents available, right?
Yeah.
He is a free agent available. How about that?
You go. That's
there
better
he is.
For
he
me.
Is an available free agent.
You put top on that. I don't know.
Yeah, he is a free agent. That is
one of the top free agents available, I think, is an accurate statement. That just goes to show you that there's not many free agents still available.
He'll be one of the top when there are like three left. All right. Anyway, Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, he's requested a trade, as everyone knows. And wide receiver Danny Amendola. By the way, was it Amendola? I swear to you, I was hosting this just in the other day, and my father literally left me a voicemail. Brady needs Amendola, Max. You know, it's like one of these crazy old casual football fans. I'm like, Dad, please.
He's been looking at the Patriots too long.
Exactly. Anyway, they got in a throwing session, those three guys, today in Austin, where all three NFL players, in the offseason, according to Aaron Wilson of Pro Football Network. Key, what options does Baker have this offseason to reclaim some value? Is that stuff like that going to help him?
Man, I don't know that it – I mean, he's got to work out, right? So he's got to do it. Throwing to Amendola and Cole Beasley, that's – I mean, if that's the only guys he can throw to, the only guys that want to throw with him right now, that's what he has to do. I think the only thing that can help him is Seattle making a decision on whether or not they want to really play in this market with him. Other than that, there's no other real options. It sounds like to me that the Carolina Panthers are not interested. Sounds like to me Carolina's thinking about doing Sam Darnold again and even Cam Newton to a degree.
Yeah, the only thing I would say with Baker is how do you stay relevant? How do you stay at the forefront of people's minds? And when you hear these kind of rumblings, you're like, all right, like, should there be some kind of hype video that Baker Mayfield does? Like, you leak footage, you show yourself throwing a Danny, you show yourself throwing a Cole Beasley, you get testimonials from people just in order to – Because right now I feel like his stock is very, very low. People have forgotten that he is a formidable, suitable quarterback.
Yeah, the problem is you can't throw to Cole Beasley and Danny Amendola. You got to throw to Devontae Adams and OBJs and Landry's and dudes like that. Julio Jones is.
That's the thing.
That's the people you got to be throwing to. Nobody care about no Cole Beasley and no Amendola.
That's the thing, Key. Here's the problem Baker's facing, and this is almost like the death knell, right? Those type dudes don't want to be thrown to by Baker Mayfield. They
exactly.
want to be thrown to by the top ballers.
Exactly. And then it would go brutal. Viral if you want to throw to somebody.
It's brutal.
But what's the alternative? You just go away?
Nope. You're going
to
land.
Make do with what you got.
Got
to
call Pete Carroll. That's what you got to do. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
You voted at KJ and Max on Twitter, and we listen. It's time for Choose Your Own Adventure.
All right, what should we talk about in this segment, 9:45 segment? Cam Newton's future, 15% said, yeah, talk about Cam. That was the lowest vote total. Almost 2%.
Talk about Cam.
Wants to talk about Key's MLB spring training tour.
I
wanted Key to tell us where Cam's going to go.
There's nothing to talk about.
Apparently I'm the only one who cares about it.
Well, Key, your MLB tour, your spring training MLB tour, received almost 22% of the vote.
Okay,
Lamar
that's not bad.
Jackson's contract, 23.5% of the vote. I don't know how the much boat. Of the vote, but of the vote. Brady's coaching situation, new and old, almost 40%, 39.4% of the vote. So that's what we're going to talk about. Here's Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt.
I do believe that. I understand that people want to make it out to be that Bruce and Tom don't get along. I would actually argue they do have a good relationship. Did they get after each other throughout this past year? Yes, absolutely, 100%. But Tom didn't come back under some condition that if he decided to come back, that Bruce would ultimately be out. Bruce Arians was going to be the head coach as far as Tom Brady was concerned until he wasn't. These two things definitely did not happen as a result of one another. And personally, I believe the explanations that I'm being given.
That's fine. He can believe it. And I can believe in my theory as well, that I do believe Tom Brady coming back was what moved Bruce Arians up to the front office. I do believe the fact that Tom Brady supposedly had met with Stephen Ross on a boat down in Miami, and that they were both planning with Sean Payton to be a package deal to the Miami Dolphins to go against Bill Belichick and the Pats again. So I do believe now that he's coming back, he retires, unretires to come back, I think he got what he want at the end of the day. And it just seems to me like this is the reasoning that they're trying to give us to soften the blow, because Tom Brady doesn't want to be a bad guy.
Portrayed
in the public as a guy that does this to a franchise? Just my theory. Just my theory.
That sounds right to me, but Jeremy Fowler has this to say.
I don't think it means anything weird for Tom Brady that he's off to Miami or some other team. You know, he's been involved in their free agency plan, in some cases adding free agents like Russell Gage, Leonard Fournette on offense. Brady was a part of that and even called the players in some cases. So based on all that we know, he should still be a Buck with Todd Bowles as his head coach.
Oh, gosh.
Keith, why are you rubbing your head? Why are you acting like you need a Tylenol?
Well, because whenever we start these conversations before our shows and just start batting around what we think is news out there, and the producer already knows how I'm going to feel about it, it's just like I need to jump in bleach when Jay started talking about Tom Brady's Miami. He thought about Miami and he was on a secret boat. And okay, cool. That's fine. But he's in Tampa. And he's going to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's going to be the quarterback of the Buccaneers. And that's not the reason Bruce Arians decided to give the job to Todd Bowles. So I guess we're now going to empower Tom Brady in the conversation of hiring minority coaches too, huh? Tom Brady's the reason that the minority black coach is being hired, because he decided to come back and make Bruce Arians quit and go upstairs so they can hire
Tom
a brother.
Brady. Is there anything like, Tom Brady can't do?
Man, like, see,
he's incredible. He does everything. God.
You know, I got to say, though, let me tell you why it sounds right to me. Let me just tell you why.
Because Tom Brady retires.
It came out of left field. I never thought he was going to stay retired, and I thought the reason he gave was flimsy, okay? Sure enough, he didn't stay retired. But I wonder why do you do it? Like, why go through all that? To me, an explanation could be he'd like to go somewhere else, whether that's Miami or San Francisco, who knows where. It seemed to me like he wanted to go somewhere else. He found out he couldn't. He came out of retirement. Now it comes out, shortly after Tom Brady comes out of retirement, Todd Bowles is upstairs.
Bruce Arians
moves upstairs, and Todd Bowles is his head coach. And Todd Bowles, as people have said today, is more Belichickian in terms of his kind of no-nonsense, straightforward approach. I don't know. Like, Key, it's all circumstantial. It may not be anything, but that cheese tastes good to me.
No,
I like the cheese.
I get the germ spreading. I understand. You follow the breadcrumbs. It's a coincidence. He leaves. Great. He comes back. He leaves. Oh, all of a sudden, I need more Belichick. So I like Ty Bowles because he's more like Belichick than Bruce Arians, who's more like a screaming or yelling and nonsense, and he likes to have fun, and I want to be straight and straight-laced and be just perfect, and I need Belichick for that. But I can't get Belichick, so I'm going to get Ty Bowles, and I'm going to do it with Ty Bowles. Like, man, stop.
I just – sometimes my brain just thinks about how people move, and it's like, hey, let me call some reporters and say, hey, I got this exclusive for you, but it has
Jay,
to be on my timetable.
I'm 50 years old. I don't have time to do this at the quarterback spot. I'm old. I got a couple years to play because I just want to finish up good and win a championship. I don't have time to be calling reporters and leaking things. And he doesn't have time for that.
So, guys, the fans wanted to talk about Brady's new and old coach. They are the producers of this segment. They choose what we talk about. Well, we talked, you know, like, do they mean Bruce Arians or do they mean Bill Belichick? Because Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, said this at a press conference about his expectations for the Patriots.
It bothers me that we haven't been able to win a playoff game in the last 3 years.
If it takes a few years for the team to be, you know, in true contention, or do you expect that to happen as soon as this year?
I expect it to happen as soon as this year.
All right, Key, as soon as this year. Robert Kraft is tired of not winning playoff games.
I know. I think he's, you know, he's frustrated. He's at an owner's meeting. And what is it one of the first things I say about the owner's meetings? If you remember, Max, they like to get in the room and walk around and talk about their great experience this past season and how the championship and the playoffs and You know, they don't want to talk about the 300-foot yacht
without,
they just
the
bought.
The owners without the rings can't even look them
they
in the
eye.
They
can't even look them in the eye. The owners without the ring walk down the hallway with their little briefcase and their lawyer on the side and keep walking. Meanwhile, huddled up in the corner is the guy who just went to the championship, you know, Stan Kroenke. He's standing there. He's probably talking to, like, Mr. Tisch, who just won a few back in the day. And they're, oh, how was this experience playing at home? The Glazers, oh, well, you guys did a great job like we did. You know, it's all that.
Oh, so
and Bob
Robert
is looking
Kraft,
there and going, yeah, my rings are dusty.
Yeah, Robert Kraft losing some cachet in the social networks in which he is moving,
not.
Right?
When
he gets
to the
meeting of the bosses of all bosses.
I don't know if you, Jay, let me tell you something. This is why I always bring it up. I don't know if you've ever been to an owner's meeting in basketball.
I have.
But in football, they're comparing notes, right? They're going to caucus in the corner and discuss what they're doing and all that. And, oh, yeah,
hey,
my wife, we bought a boat, and it's a 250, and the other guy, and, oh, Mr. Snyder, he just bought one at 300. What are you going to do? That's cool. But it's something about talking about the free agents you sign, the big money that you're getting ready to shell out on some more free agents. That's something, but that in the end, it's about the ring at the table. What did you do for the Super Bowl after party? If you and I can't have that conversation, Jay can't get in the room, we're mad now.
But we were in that room multiple times. Super Bowl after parties.
Yeah, but guess
back,
what?
It's almost getting the back in the day
Bowl,
territory.
Them six you guys, Super Bowl.
Your germ's burning right
six
now, Keyshawn.
Super Bowl after parties is not the same as the one in 2022. The one in 2022, they had Dr. Dre at the halftime. They had everything. Not what they had back then. They probably had, like,
Sinatra.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
That's years ago already.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, it was something that's different.
They had Sammy Davis Jr. and Sinatra in them
think
at the
about,
last one.
Think about, how cool, think about how cool Stan Kroenke walking, talking about, man, you know, we had Mary
gotta get
Jane,
out of here, Key.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.